Hello, everyone. This is John Dockendorf. I'm moderator for tonight for the KBA coaching call. We have the opportunity to hear from the Reverend Romero Pena. I hope I said that correctly. And
Pena.
And he's the founder and pastor of Christ the King Baptist Church of Waco, Texas, and with an international ministry reaching 50 states and 120 countries. And so we have the opportunity to hear from him and to ask questions afterwards. Normally with these coaching calls, we like to keep it in the 30-minute time frame, with the first, you know, 10 or 15 minutes having the speaker share, and then open it for 10 or 15 minutes or so worth of Q&A after that. And so in the meantime, if you have any background, you can mute yourself if you know how to do that. I think it's #6 if you don't have the, you know, button on your smartphone or whatever to go ahead and mute. And then what we'll be able to do is then have an opportunity to hear the wisdom. And I'd like to open the call with prayer. Father, we just declare that we are your people, and we have a heart's desire to know your will and your guidance for us in all things. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity for Romero to teach us based on the great wisdom and experiences that he's had, and what he has for us as people in the marketplace who are trying to impact our nation for you. We thank you for that, Lord, and we do ask that you would be with us in all things, and we praise you and thank you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Romero, go ahead and take it away.
Sure. Well, thank you for this wonderful privilege of being with you, this KBA conference call. I so admire all things that this ministry is doing. I am joining it. We do have, just by way of background, a small real estate company that we launched to put our kids through college about 15, 16 years ago. About 20 years before that, when I was employed at a university, I since the courses were free, I worked through the MBA program. So I'm not foreign to the audience or the work of business. With that in mind, my understanding is that I'm scheduled every Tuesday night for the coming weeks. And because of that, as I sought the Lord, I felt like he gave me a foundational message for inviting, as we progress in these conversations, the Holy Spirit into our business activities, hearing his voice for breakthrough, supernatural creativity, insight, wisdom, words of knowledge, all the things that the Holy Spirit can bring to us. But to begin with, the Lord put on my heart a foundational message that may be very simple for some, but I would like to release or impart a passion for asking for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, some traditions don't believe you can ask for more. I think we're specifically instructed to. I'm going to share scriptures with you primarily to demonstrate. So if I was asking the question, can you ask for more of the Holy Spirit, that's what I want to try to answer. And in the subsequent or coming Tuesdays, I'm going to talk about why and how it is practical, a very practical matter, to invite more of Holy Spirit into our lives and into our business activities specifically. So I'll begin with several scriptures here, and I'm watching the clock, and we'll go about 10 or 12 minutes here and turn it over to our moderator. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's all we're doing, claiming that promise that he will come near to us. Ephesians 1:13 makes clear that every believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. But I think it's clear in the scriptures I'm going to share with you that we not only can, but should be asking for more. In Luke 11, the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So he gives them a version of the Lord's Prayer and then gives them a parable on praying with persistence. This is the parable of the friend who goes to a friend at night asking for bread to put in front of another friend. And that's what we're asking for constantly. Lord, give us bread. Give us a word. Give us something to lay in front of someone else. And so he says, ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, because the answer will be there. The door will be opened. You will find. And it's clear in the Greek language that it's a continuum. Ask and keep asking, not one time. Some people teach you shouldn't ask more than once. It doesn't. You're reflecting a lack of faith if you keep asking. I say, well, maybe, but not always. We're instructed to ask and keep asking. And then the very first thing he says, and teaching them to pray, the Greek word literally is impertinence. They're praying with impertinence. But for us, it's persistence, shameless persistence, really, is his teaching on prayer. And the very first thing he says to ask for is the Holy Spirit. He said, you dads, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11, 13. Then in John 3, 34, Scripture says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Specifically, for he whom God has sent. He's talking about Jesus, capital H. He, the sent one, speaking the words of God. For he, the Father, gives the Spirit without measure. Unlimited supply of Holy Spirit is available to us. Now, again, if we're doing good exegesis of the text, it's Jesus he's talking about. But twice, John 17 in his prayer, just as you've sent me, Father, I've sent them. And in John 20, in Resurrection Day, he says, verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we are now qualified, according to Jesus' words, as sent ones. And as sent ones, we can have the Spirit without measure. So I declare over us tonight, unlimited supply of Holy Spirit. It's there for the asking. Rick Joyner, I heard him say when we first met in 1996, we're as close to the Lord as we want to be. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're claiming James 4:8 as the promise, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So I'm believing and declaring and asking for an unlimited supply of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also makes it very clear that we can come to him and ask, like Luke 11, and keep asking, seek and keep seeking. In John 7, verse 37, the scripture says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, and keep in mind, he got everybody's attention. He stands up and he shouts. He gets loud. And he yells, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. In the text, again, in the Greek language, when Jesus says, come to me and drink, it literally means come to me and keep coming. Drink and keep drinking. It's a continuum with persistence. Keep coming to him and keep drinking. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water will flow if we keep coming to him and keep drinking. Therefore, the question, can we ask for more of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Let's keep asking because we can have it in unlimited supply. In business, if we have unlimited supply of a product that we can refine or take, and make a profit with, clearly that's an advantage. Well, we have an incredible advantage. We have unlimited supply. But I submit to you, we need to be intentional and ask and seek and come to Him and keep coming, seek and keep seeking. Now, Peter was there in the upper room when Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He's certainly there in Acts chapter 2. At Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And then when he heals the lame beggar, Acts chapter 4, he stands up to speak, and he says, then Peter, filled, verse 8, Acts 4:8, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, literally, filled with the Holy Spirit in this text in the Greek language means having just been filled. So Peter gets in the upper room with Jesus when he breathed on them, gets it at Pentecost, and now he's in front of these leaders, and he gets a fresh infilling. At the end of the chapter, he's probably offering up the prayer, but he's certainly there. And they prayed that they'd speak the word of God with boldness as you extend your hand to heal. And verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. The Lord answered their prayer. They got filled again. So, you know, I asked the question, how many times is Peter going to get filled? The answer is as many times as he wants to be filled. How many times are we going to get filled? We can get infillings every morning, every afternoon, every night. Some people make a big deal about a baptism, a second experience after salvation. I say, let's get the 50th and the 100th and the 500th filling. I want a fresh filling every day. A problem comes up to me. I want a fresh infilling and God to give me creativity and a solution. I want my people to have fresh infillings constantly. Certainly that's the experience of the disciples. One last text before we run out of time and we move on to Q&A. And I'm going to keep building on this teaching every week. Paul is in front of a leader, a proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence in Acts 13. A magician, a false prophet, is there hindering. But verse 9 says, but Saul, who is also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him. He calls blindness down on the guy. Okay, the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, looks at that and says, I think I'll believe now, becomes a believer when he sees this power encounter. But the phrase in verse 9, Paul filled with the Holy Spirit, is the same grammar in Acts 4 with Peter, meaning having just been filled. Paul got a fresh infilling for that power encounter. Certainly he was filled at his conversion. When Ananias prayed for him, he prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit. Paul has the Holy Spirit. He's doing incredible things already. But he gets a fresh infilling the moment he needs it. And isn't that the promise of Scripture? We can come boldly to his throne of grace in the moment of need. So I want to submit to us tonight that we make as a practice coming to him and coming to him and coming to him, drinking and continuing to drink, asking for more, Luke 11:13, believing that we literally can have unlimited supply. In every area of life, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, to inspire us, to keep us on the path we need to stay on. We need his guides. He is our teacher. He's the one that brings to remembrance all that Jesus said. So I encourage us tonight, let's continually ask for more. As I pray for people, especially troubled marriages, troubled youth, individuals, I'm always praying, Lord, increase the ministry of your Holy Spirit in their lives. Pour out your Spirit over them. And as people come into agreement, we believe for that, we see increased ministry of Holy Spirit, angelic activity, supernatural favor flows, solutions come to challenges that are faced. And each time we know it's because we pressed in and asked for more of His Spirit. So with that, I entertain any questions. I may not have answers, but I'm glad to hear any question or commentary anybody has. I turn it back over to you, John.
Well, thank you, Romero. Yes, we'd like to open it up for questions. And the protocol was basically is announce your name, ask your question briefly, and then allow our speaker to give you a response. So that'll allow us to handle the most questions in the shortest amount of time. So who'd like to ask the first question? Well, while they're pondering their questions, Romero, I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
You know, this multiple fillings, how do you typically minister the Holy Spirit? Is it in a singular uniform process, or do you find that you're ministering it to others in different ways, or are you encouraging them to just reach out to God and be filled on their own?
I would have to say all of the above. You know, the Holy Spirit is endlessly creative. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to us in many and various ways. But I am forever asking God to pour out His Spirit. I'm asking God to send a messenger to impart the Spirit. Acts 16:14 says, that Lydia was listening to Paul, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the message given by Paul. So I'm asking God, pour out your Spirit and open their heart to respond to the messenger you send. Pour out your Spirit over a messenger. Send that divine appointment to this person. So as we intercede, and I think intercession is still something we're just working to grow in, we're asking for the Spirit of the Lord to be loose, because when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, He knows what to do. Holy Spirit knows what to do. We don't know what to do oftentimes, but the Spirit of the Lord does. So He's constantly wooing people toward Jesus, and that's why we constantly ask for an outpouring of His Spirit over people, over marriages, over businesses, over land. And again, when Holy Spirit shows up, He knows what to do.
Great. Thanks. Who else would like to ask a question?
How do you recognize and know the Holy Spirit speaking versus your own thoughts?
So be sure to introduce your name, by the way.
Hi, this is Brad.
Brad.
I just joined KDA. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. It's a wonderful question because it is probably the most common question that's asked. It's an important one. Distinguishing the many voices, whether it's the voice of the enemy, my own voice, somebody else's, something from the flesh, or the Holy Spirit of God. And so primarily, I believe it comes with experience. You feel the prompting of the Spirit. I'm not sure it's the Lord. I'm going to take a step of faith. And let me give you a couple of phrases. Number one, I want to put more confidence in the ability of the Holy Spirit to lead me than the ability of the enemy to deceive me. Let me say it again. I want to put more confidence in the ability of the Holy Spirit to lead me than the ability of the enemy to deceive me. So with that trust, I believe as I relate more and more to the Father as a son, I trust the Lord to treat me like a son. if a dad sees his little boy doing something, and he knows the little boy thinks he's doing what his daddy wants him to do, but it's the wrong thing, is he going to just whip him? No. He's going to say, oh, no, little one, no, that's not what I meant. This is what I meant. This is what I want you to do. So I trust that the Lord, if I take a wrong turn and I'm thinking this is what he wants me to do, I'm going to trust him to guide me and lead me. If I took a left turn, he wants me to take a right turn, he's going to show me, no, this is what I meant. You missed me. Then I'll go, whoops, missed him. Try again. But the more times, though, I take a risk and step out, the more and more easier it gets to discern his voice. And then I don't want to be paralyzed by the fear of making a mistake. I want to step out there. And I often tell people it's a lot easier for the Lord to steer a car that's moving than one that's in park with the brake on. We got to step out, and we got to learn to trust him. And the more experience we get discerning his voice, the better we get at it. Just like a teacher can get better teaching, a prophet, somebody who's prophetic, can get better at discerning. In fact, discerning spirits is a gift of the Spirit. We can ask for that. And I'll talk about that in a subsequent Tuesday. But we can grow and get better at discerning his voice. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Romero. Who else has a question?
Hi, this is Valerie from Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for that exhortation, I think, to really remember about, you know, and respond again to the Holy Spirit every day, 10 times a day, 100 times a day. I'm just wondering, in a business setting where there's not a lot of, you may not work with people who are even Christians. I know in meetings I'll pray in tongues under my breath and the Lord will give me a good idea and all, but what are some other practical ways we can see the Holy Spirit use us in business settings, maybe in a government or wherever we are, that really is, you're surrounded by unbelievers?
Sure. That's a great question, Valerie. Thanks for asking. So I've done a ton of work with government leaders. In 2000, I embraced the year 2000, over, I guess going on 22 years now, I embraced the calling, the government leaders, to kings in the earth, kings in the earth primarily being CEOs of large corporations. And so and again, this is going to be a subject of another Tuesday. Another just great practical is celebrating and cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we have more of the Holy Spirit, we will have more of the fruit of the Spirit. And I tell you, we all know what it's like to be in a business meeting with difficult people and how we need the supernatural fruit of the Spirit to carry the day. Well, we are the carriers of it. And when we will come in the opposite spirit of somebody who's just being flat obnoxious or just difficult, the Spirit of the Lord over us responding with peace. Peace is a weapon. Peace is a weapon. It's hard for sometimes us to get our minds, our heads around it, but it's the God of peace who will soon crush Satan under our feet. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's the gospel of peace we preach. So Holy Spirit increasingly moving in our lives can produce that particular fruit of the Spirit called peace in the midst of conflict. In the business world, in the workplace, in the midst of turmoil, a storm can be raging, and we can be the anointed one, flowing with peace, hearing the voice of the Lord for solutions and creativity. I can't think of anything more practical than that. Remember, Jesus was asleep, according in Mark's version of the story, on the stern, on the cushion, And they had to wake him up, and the storm is raging. He said, look, we're perishing. And he rebukes the wind and the sea. Again, many practical ways to invite the Holy Spirit in and for him to release revelation. That's going to be, I'm going to share next week, where the Lord gave me specific revelation in a major national conversation on the way children were separated, especially toddlers, from their parents on the border. And I sat in the private office of the Attorney General, and the Lord gave me specific revelation that he ran with and implemented an hour later. And again, so supernatural revelation can come, not just the fruit of the Spirit, that is very practical in how the Lord brings solution. I hope that's helpful.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, that's wonderful. Do we have one more question before we close things out that someone wants to get in? Obviously, there'll be opportunities in the next few weeks to ask Romero additional questions, but does anybody have one more burning question they want to ask him today?
Romero, this is Gary from California, Southern California. And I guess, you know, I want so much more than what I see. And I've got this hunger, and I'm just trying to figure out where I take that when I don't see answers. And, you know, one place where I'm thinking I take it is, well, just don't get distracted by the thorns and the thistles, you know, that choke out the fruit. And I was wondering if you had any insight.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great question. It's sufficiently broad. One of the things I'm going to come back with in pursuing the Holy Spirit is pursuing wisdom from above and making the pursuit of wisdom from above a passion. Keep in mind, you know, I don't want to go too far with it, but also because of time, we're out of time. But when we're not seeing breakthrough, I encourage people do some sort of fasting and cry out for wisdom from above. I had a brief career as I did graduate school also before business and my work at the university. In philosophy, the word philosophy comes from two Greek words, philos and sophia, the philos being one of the words for love, sophia is the word for wisdom, the love of wisdom. And I just submit that all of us should have a lifelong passionate pursuit of the wisdom of God. He is the Holy Spirit of wisdom. I think Jesus is wisdom personified, and he will lead us. I mean, he is truth, and he'll lead us into all his truth. He's the God of truth. All truth is God's truth. And the pursuit of that, I believe, does just release so much that we can't even begin to imagine think about the practical ways he wants to engage and release words to us and solutions. I'm not saying there's not dry seasons or difficult times or struggles. But that's when I believe we learn the most, in the fire of delayed answers. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to talk about the teaching of persistence more thoroughly. In the American culture, you know, if we don't get it immediately, we just roll over, quit. Well, that didn't work, and we give up. I'm into microwaving things, and I tap my foot impatiently in front of the microwave. You know, hurry up. And but the Lord tends to be into marinating, then the slow cooker. We don't get answers like yesterday, quick. We miss out on the work the Lord wants to do in us when he doesn't give us an immediate answer or an immediate solution. And I know there's times we have to have immediate solutions, but he is forever trying to grow us to be more dependent upon him, hearing his voice. And this is part, what you put your finger on is the struggle that I think somehow he just relishes to use to get us closer to him as sons and daughters. I hope that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Romero. This has been most enlightening. I know that I took some notes, and we'll be pondering them in this week ahead. And encourage everybody else to have done the same and to also see what happens as he expands on those hinted at topics that are coming. And Romero, would you pray for us in closing out the
session
here today?
I'd love to. So, Father, we humble ourselves before you, and we look to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. You're the developer of our faith. And, you, Lord, the work you've begun in us, you're going to complete, bring to perfection to the day of Christ Jesus. So as we humble ourselves before you, Lord, we submit every area of our lives to you, our minds, our bodies, our emotions, our spirit, our heart. Lord, everything, every area of our lives, Lord, financially, materially, we bring everything in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we as a group study your word together, I pray, pour out your spirit in a fresh way, even tonight, and help us, Lord, grow in understanding how practical it is to walk close with you, to hear your voice, to claim the promise of hearing your voice, and to believe for a fresh infilling all day, every day, fresh encounters, receiving the work of your spirit in our lives, in us, and through us. And finally, Lord, for every person listening right now, every single one, I ask God for a divine and increased understanding, even, Lord, a fresh revelation of how much you love us. Each one, Lord, fresh revelation of your love for each of us individually. Lord, drive it deep within us. Open our eyes to it, Lord. Help us to receive your adoption, your acceptance, your love. It's not based on our performance, but just for being your children, your sons, your daughters. Help us to receive how much you love us, Lord. I thank you for that. I declare a fresh baptism in your love to everyone on this call, and even every house represented, even every house of worship represented. Even now, pour out your spirit, Abba, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was wonderful. Thank you, Romero. Thank you for everyone participating on the call. And we look forward to continuing next week. And as I like to say, same time, same place next week. So be
all right.
Blessed in what God has for you.
Bless you.
And
thank you.
Be richly blessed, and we'll look forward to talking with you then. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. That was awesome. God bless.
You're most welcome. God bless. Tori, you can close out the call.